Chapter 21. 18 May 1937. Nick spent a restless night. He woke early, and though Sunday was his morning for a lie-in, he couldn't stay in bed. Seeing Lizzie O'Malley had shaken him up, he couldn't wait to see her again. Last time, Hannah had been disappointed because Lizzie had disappeared before they could meet. He didn't want to raise her hopes again if they were to be dashed. He couldn't make up his mind about the best way to bring them together. He knew Hannah would be more than welcoming. Should he just walk in with Lizzie? Would she even come with him when it came to the point? He didn't trust Joey not to whisk her off somewhere else. He rang Hannah as soon as he thought she might be out of bed. Last time he'd got Lizzie to her door, Hannah had not been home. He had to make sure she would be this time. "Can I come and see you this afternoon?" he asked. "Of course, Nick. Is something the matter?"
"No. You weren't planning to go out?"
"No. Hugo will probably come for lunch. He likes to see the twins. Do come, too."
"Thank you, but no. There's somewhere else I have to go first."
"Tea, then?"
"You won't mind if I'm early?" he asked cautiously.
"Come when you're ready, Nick." He was restless all morning, too. Couldn't even settle to the Sunday papers. He was back in Onslow Road earlier than the time he'd set. If Joey was persuading Lizzie to be out, he planned to get there before they went. Lizzie opened the door to him. She seemed more anxious than she'd been last night. She was wearing an apron over a blue dress.
"We aren't quite ready, Nick. I was just washing up after dinner."
"No hurry. I'm a bit early."
In the living room, the scents of Sunday lunch lingered in the air. Joey gave him an aggressive look before taking pudding plates out to the kitchen. Even in the office, Nick had found his strange eyes and cunning face disturbing. Here, in his home, Joey affected him more. Nick followed him to the kitchen door. He was surprised to find the house well furnished, even smart. He hadn't noticed last night. He'd been too intent on trying to fathom out what Joey was up to. He'd failed, but was aware for the first time of a wall between Joey and Lizzie.
"You're determined to go, then?" Joey sounded surly.
"Yes, I've told you."
"I think you're making a big mistake. You're going to ruin everything if you aren't careful."
"Come with me, then. I want you to."
"I don't know."
"You don't mind if Joey comes too, do you, Nick?"
He minded a lot.
"No,"
he had to say, while Joey eyed him suspiciously. "Of course not."
He had to get her to Hannah. He was sure Hannah would persuade her to stay at Oak Ridge. Perhaps it would have been better to discuss it with her first. He wasn't sure about Hugo being there as well. Would he want Lizzie there all the time? And taking Joey would only complicate matters. Lizzie was untying her apron at last. The slim blue dress emphasized her shapely figure. She had pale, fair skin, with the faintest of apple-pink cheeks. He couldn't take his eyes off her.
"I'll just get my hat and coat. Joey, do come with us, please."
Nick sensed they'd had a row. He'd never known them less than easy with each other. It wasn't hard to guess it was about going to Oak Ridge. Joey clearly didn't want to come, but he didn't want to allow Lizzie out of his sight either.
"If you're sure you want me," he said grudgingly.
Lizzie sat in the front of the car with Nick, but turned sideways in the seat so she could include Joey in all she said.
"Bit cramped in the back here," Joey complained. "I'm jammed in."
"Yes, it's really just a two-seater," Nick agreed. "They call that a parcel shell for a bench for children."
"Austin 7, is it?" Joey sounded disdainful.
"Yes, the early models were called chummies, because the occupants had to be on good terms to squeeze into such a small car."
When he changed gear, Nick felt the lever move against Lizzie's leg. Joey wouldn't like that.
"You don't like my new car, Joey? You've had this for years."
"No, I bought it second-hand a couple of months ago. I had one like it, a 1926 model, for 3 years, but it was starting to give trouble. This is newer, 1933. The ride's very bouncy."
Nick thought he was envious.
Yes, and it rolls terribly on corners. Quite hard to control sometimes. Not always easy to cope with it. The brakes aren't all that good either. What made you buy the same sort again? I've got used to it. It's a very popular model. Only because it's the cheapest on the market, Joey sniffed.
Then as the car turned into the drive, he was gasping. Is this it? Where the Mortimers live?
Yes, you've been here before. I brought you.
On our first day, Lizzie nodded. Everything was so strange then, we hardly took it in.
Joey whistled through his teeth as he got out.
This is Greg Mortimer's home.
Not now. He has a place of his own. This belongs to his father. His stepmother is my mother's friend.
Nick went to the front door and hammered on the knocker, aware that Joey stared round him in silent wonder.
I've brought somebody to see you, he said to Hannah when she opened it. This is Elizabeth.
He pulled her forward.
Our paths crossed again. I know you want to meet her.
Hannah made a sound somewhere between a gurgle of astonishment and a triumphant laugh.
At last! I've so wanted to see how you've grown. You're really Elizabeth? What a wonderful surprise!
Nick knew he'd done the right thing for Lizzie as he watched Hannah's arms enfold her in a hug of welcome.
Let me look at you.
Excited dark eyes surveyed Lizzie's face from no more than a foot away.
Oh, you're so pretty!
The arms tightened in another hug.
I'm thrilled you've come at last. Nick, you naughty boy, why didn't you tell me what you were up to?
He could see Lizzie was puzzled. Her slanting eyes were seeking a resemblance in the other. But Hannah was as dark as she was fair, a large woman while Lizzie was dainty.
Are you my mother?
She blurted out awkwardly.
No, no.
Nick's heart jerked with sympathy even before he heard Hannah's gasp of shock. Her mouth was sagging open, her dark eyes bewildered, her pleasure gone. Only then did he remember overhearing his mother speak of another child born out of wedlock. Lizzie looked older than her years. Perhaps she was thinking... He kicked himself for not preparing Hannah for this, but she was recovering quickly.
No, see what a mess you're getting us into, Nick. Come on in.
Her laughter sounded a little flustered.
Lizzie's stomach was churning. She wished she hadn't eaten so much dinner. The hall was very grand. A fine carved staircase with a mahogany handrail curved up to a wide landing. The vast stained glass windows sent shafts of coloured light to dapple the parquet floor. She couldn't take her eyes off Hannah. Her startled dark eyes had searched Lizzie's with the same fever she herself felt. Lizzie recognised the same need in her. She'd wanted to find her roots. This large, handsome woman had wanted to find her. Half-dazed, she bumped into Joey. He was staring up in amazement at the stuffed stag's head over a door.
"What horns!" he marvelled.
Nick was introducing him. Poor Joey looked even more out of his depth than she was. It was all a bit grand for them. Lizzie had never seen a fireplace in a hall. It was vast and had dog irons. The date 1904 was carved into the oak surround. There seemed to be lots of rooms opening off the hall. She found her tongue again.
Nick said you might be. My mother, I mean.
She still didn't understand who this large woman was, except she was Clarissa Bender's friend.
I was a kid at the time, Hannah. I didn't mean mischief.
Nick was full of apologies.
Mother used to talk about you. I really did think.
Hannah's dark eyes were smiling at her, but they were glistening with tears, too. Lizzie felt her throat constrict as the bands of tension tightened within her.
I'm your mother's stepmother. I suppose that makes me your step-grandmother.
Her laughter died.
How complicated it all must seem. My mother is here?
Lizzie was half-choking. She felt fluttery. How often had she and Joey surmised about her relatives? She'd come to believe they only existed in fantasy.
Dorothy, I'm afraid not. She's run off, deserted her other children. You have four half-sisters and two half-brothers.
Surprise flooded through her, then delight.
Six? I'm not the only one. Your half-brothers are here, only babies still. Lizzie clapped her hand to her mouth.
Oh,
her voice was almost a squeal.
Can I see them now?
Hannah led the way into a cretonne-filled sitting room. It seemed more homely than the other parts of the house, and was made more so by the playpen in the corner, and much evidence of rattles and bibs lying about. A large twin pram was just outside the French door to the garden. A determined-looking man with a small grey beard and thick silvery hair rose heavily from an armchair as they entered. He was clutching a whimpering baby to his shoulder with one hand. He offered Lizzie the other.
"Would you believe, Hugo?"
Hannah's voice seemed an octave higher.
"Nick's brought Elizabeth to see us."
Lizzie felt herself being drawn forward.
"This is your great-grandfather, Sir Hugo Mortimer." "I'm Lizzie," she managed. "I don't feel right answering to Elizabeth."
His handshake was firm and friendly. He kissed her on both cheeks, too. His beard felt like sandpaper.
"You've got the Mortimer hair."
"Schofield," Hannah corrected. "Those white blonde curls are definitely Schofield, from your great-grandmother's side."
"She's got the Mortimer face, though."
"Yes,"
Hannah smiled. "There's no doubt you're a Mortimer. I was just telling her about Dorothy, Hugo."
"Turned out to be a bit of a black sheep."
"I can't believe I have real relatives."
Lizzie felt overwhelmed by a heartwarming bliss. Her laugh sounded a little wild.
"I seem to have spent so long without any."
She could see Hannah was finding it impossible to control her feelings. Her dark eyes had been aflame with pleasure. Now they were glistening again. Already ties were being formed. Lizzie turned to her and was pulled close. The next moment she was sobbing against her shoulder. Hannah had opened the floodgates. Nick pushed his handkerchief into her hand. Even her great-grandfather seemed touched by such a display of emotion and was patting her shoulder. Only Joey stood stone-faced, untouched by it all.
"This is your half-brother, Piers."
Hugo tried to cheer her out of her tears. "His twin Paul is out in the pram asleep. This one should be too."
"I'm so thrilled."
Lizzie mopped her face and took the child from him.
"Half-brothers, how marvellous."
"You were a twin too, but your sister was stillborn."
"I was. I had Joey instead."
She turned to include him in her watery smile. "He's been like a twin to me. We always said we were. How strange." She flushed then, remembering that they weren't acting like twins any longer.
"So where is my mother now? I'd love to meet her."
"What a strange family you must think us." Hannah and Hugo were trying to explain together that the one person she wouldn't be able to meet was Dorothy. Lizzie felt warm fingers close on hers and lead her into a formal dining room. The bare mahogany table dominated the room, but Hannah was pointing out the portrait over the fireplace.
"This is your mother."
Lizzie studied the girl wearing a diaphanous white gown. "Yes, she is like me." That gave her a surge of pleasure. "Except..." Surely her mother hadn't been as petulant and sulky as she looked. "She was about 15 when this was painted."
"It's lovely to find her at last. I didn't seem to belong anywhere till now."
Hannah's mouth was twisting with pain and regret. "I've always felt very guilty about leaving you with Maisie O'Malley."
"You shouldn't be," Lizzie said. "I've not been unhappy. I had Joey, you see, and we had some good times. You did what you thought was best."
"Don't blame yourself, Hannah,"
Hugo said as he led the way back to the small sitting room. He turned back to Lizzie with a chuckle.
"Hannah didn't even tell me you existed until recently. We were all to think the best of Dorothy. You come from the wrong side of the blanket, if you know what that means."
Lizzie nodded.
"I'm afraid you suffered because of that. But Dorothy's ruined her own reputation now. We couldn't protect her from this even if we wanted to."
"I wanted to keep you, Lizzie, and bring you up myself, but Matt wouldn't let me. He was afraid everybody would know you were Dorothy's child."
She had to ask,
"Who is Matt?" Lizzie, Hannah said, you must tell us all about yourself. You have a job?
Yes, I'm an usherette at the Lyceum.
She could see from their faces that they didn't think much of that.
It's smashing, not like work at all.
She couldn't stop her enthusiasm bubbling out.
I get to see all the films, and the girls are good fun.
Where's the Lyceum?
In New Ferry, Nick said, a bit of a flea pit.
Hannah, Hugo said quietly, you say you need help with these babies. It might be a good idea for Lizzie to get to know her own family.
Hannah laughed. I can't even think straight now. Of course I'd like very much for you to come here.
You mean to help with the babies?
Lizzie turned it over in her mind.
I'd like that. I'm used to babies. Had plenty of practice, haven't I, Joey? Aunt Maisie had a new baby every couple of years. Most days I only work in the evening, so I'd have plenty of spare time to spend here.
No, Lizzie, Joey protested. I don't want you rushing up here every day. It would be too much for you. Wear you out. She hesitated, knowing he wasn't worried about how much she did. What he hated was the thought of her coming here.
Joey, you did say you wanted me to give up the Lyceum.
She turned to explain.
It's evening work, you see. We're never home together.
Not to come here and do other work. Joey's face had lost all its colour. It seemed thinner, more foxy. I want you to stay home and look after me and the house.
But I need to do more than that. I'd be on my own all day.
Then keep your job on, he retorted angrily. If that's what you want, you're settled at the Lyceum. You like it. That made Lizzie catch her breath. Joey had turned round completely. He meant to stop her coming here at any price.
Lizzie, Hannah said, you need a proper home. I'd like you to think of Oak Ridge. You mean live here?
Lizzie asked, looking round.
In this house, with you?
Joey was gaping at her in horror. No, Lizzie, you decided you didn't want a live-in job. It would be the same for you as it is for our Peggy and crew. You wouldn't want that.
Hannah looked appalled. I didn't mean as a servant. Of course I didn't. Your family. We need to get to know each other. I want you to come and live here. Just give a hand with the babies when you feel like it.
They're beautiful. I'd love to help with them, but...
Lizzie felt she was being torn in two. I wouldn't interfere with your private affairs. You must come and go as you please, and feel free to bring your friends here. I want you to look upon it as your home. All her life, Lizzie had wanted to find her family. Joey had persuaded her to come to Birkenhead, promising he'd help her. She hadn't needed his help. She could have done it on her own. Joey hadn't always played fair with her. When Nick told him Clarissa was planning to send her to boarding school, he'd kept that to himself. He'd better go on believing she'd be sent to work as a scullery maid in a boarding house in Crewe. And he'd gone back on his promise to help her find her family. He deliberately kept her away from Nick and made her promise not to approach Hannah. Joey didn't consider her needs, only his own. He said he loved and needed her, but it was a selfish love. Last night he'd been very hurtful. She'd never seen him like that before. She couldn't allow him to prevent her seeing her family any longer. Because Joey wanted it, she'd already been living in the same town for nearly 4 years without any contact. But Joey's present wretchedness was tearing her in two. He grunted out,
"Lizzie's got her proper home with me. I want her to stay."
She felt sick with indecision. Hugo was trying to help. "Stop worrying about what everybody else wants, Lizzie. It must be what you want yourself. And there's no reason to make any decision on the spur of the moment. Go home and think about it."
"You're really my great-grandfather? I've heard of you, seen your picture in the paper."
But she knew he was wrong. She'd have to make up her mind now. If she went home with Joey, he'd be at her until she promised never to set foot in Oak Ridge again.
"Joey, I would like to come here and see more of Hannah and the babies."
Lizzie was in a fever, but knew she had to be firm.
"No."
She wished now she had not persuaded him to come here with her. Both she and Joey were laying bare their feelings in public. It was more difficult and an added embarrassment. Perhaps if I give a week's notice at the Lyceum so they can get someone else, and then come here during the day, while you're at work. We'd have the evenings together like we used to. That way we'd both have what we want.
It's not what I want. Joey was getting angry. He wasn't prepared to give an inch. Everything had to be exactly what he wanted. He was behaving as though he owned her, body and soul.
It needn't make any difference to...
It'll make all the difference in the world, Joey raged. Come home with me now. He didn't say, and stay away from here.
But it was there clearly in his voice.
What's the harm in getting to know my half-brothers?
Don't do it, Lizzie. Please don't do it. I don't want you to.
Joey's voice was an intense whisper. You promised you wouldn't stay here.
That made the perspiration break out on her forehead.
She knew they were all holding their breath. She felt locked in mortal combat with Joey.
I'd like to spend some time. We'll talk about it later when we...
Joey backed against the door. He had the look of a fox at bay.
I knew this would happen. They've turned you against me. All right, have it your way. You don't want me any more.
He stamped out the hall. Lizzie rushed after him.
Of course I want you, Joey.
You're leaving me.
Joey's odd eyes glared into hers.
Would you rather I did? Do you want me to stay here?
He'd caught her on the raw, and her voice was cold. Perhaps it sounded too much like a threat. She'd been trying to do what was best for them all.
Stay here, then. Stay for good.
Lizzie glimpsed tears in Joey's eyes as he turned from her and slammed through the front door. The crash echoed round the large house. Lizzie froze. Nick came out into the hall, took her arm, led her back.
I'm sorry.
She should never have let this happen, or to have known he'd be obstinate and upset. What was she to do now? She couldn't part from Joey like this. Arguing with him here in front of everybody had distorted her perspective, made her lose sight of what she valued most. She couldn't believe Joey had meant to leave her like this. She was in agony.
Don't worry, Lizzie.
Though he comforted, Nick's eyes seemed to reflect the horror she felt. Joey will come round.
Why don't you stay with Hannah for a few days? Hugo suggested. It's a sensible thing. Give things time to cool down.
Yes, please do. You can decide later whether you want to stay permanently. Flushed and embarrassed, Hannah was doing her best to make her feel welcome. Come upstairs. Come and see which bedroom you'd like to have. The landing seemed vast as she crossed it. Hannah was throwing open a door.
This was your mother's room when she lived here.
Hannah was opening the window to let in some fresh air. It was a large, bright room, furnished with a single oak bedstead, two big wardrobes, and a large doll's house. Lizzie's stomach was churning. She and Joey had rarely quarrelled, and never like this before. She wanted to go after him, make her peace. Joey meant too much to her to open up a rift like this.
Dorothy used this room all through her childhood. Would you like to see the others before you decide? The guest room is ready to use. This is dusty.
Lizzie couldn't keep her mind on what Hannah was saying. Joey's face was imprinted before her eyes. He looked so bitter, so hurt.
No, I'd like this one. But where do the babies sleep?
Their nursery is on the top floor.
Will I be able to hear them from here, if they cry in the night?
No, Edna sleeps up there at the moment. She's leaving to get married soon.
Perhaps when she's gone?
Lizzie sought for words. She felt quite shaken. Poor Joey, she knew he'd be feeling just as bad as she was. She couldn't think of anything else.
That's not why I want you here.
Hannah sank down on the bed, looking distressed.
No, but I need some reason. I want to be some help to you.
We'll see. I have advertised for a nanny and a nursemaid, but it doesn't look hopeful. You'd like to sleep here for the time being? Lizzie nodded. She couldn't throw off the feeling of doom.
To think my mother slept in this bed.
She took most of her things away with her when she married, but of course she'd grown out of the doll's house. She was fond of it when she was a child.
It's magnificent.
Lizzie knew she sounded drained of feeling.
Let's get you some bed linen then. Hannah went out on the landing to open the airing cupboard. She loaded linen sheets and wool blankets with blue stripes along the edges into Lizzie's arms. Then she stripped the dust sheets off the flock mattress and unfolded something from the airing cupboard on top.
What's that? A goose feather bed. I've never seen one before.
Very comfortable. Hannah shook up the feathers. Dorothy used it. Clarissa Bender gave us several. She made them. The feathers came from Yarrow. That should make you feel more at home. Lizzie was pulling a pillowcase onto a warm pillow. She didn't feel at all at ease here. She half wished she hadn't agreed to stay.
This should have been your home.
Hannah was frowning.
You should have been brought up here.
But I wasn't, Lizzie said. I was brought up with Joey, and now I feel terrible because he thinks I've abandoned him.
Hannah sighed too. You can go back to see him and explain. Make up your quarrel. You mustn't feel guilty. Put it right out of your mind. Guilt can wear you down, stop you enjoying things now.
I know. I've felt that way myself.
Perhaps it's one of the reasons I want you here. Better late than never.
I wasn't unhappy with the O'Malleys. Not really.
That makes me feel better. But what seemed a solution then has brought its own problems. The trouble with Joey, for instance. You're a different person from what you would have been.
Would I have been better?
No, I didn't mean that. Just different.
Perhaps you're a stronger person because of it. But this is your rightful place, Lizzie, and don't you forget it.
I'm going down now to put the kettle on for tea, she went on. Come down in 10 minutes. Lizzie switched on the stainless steel and black vacuum cleaner Hannah had left with her for the carpet square, but felt more like throwing herself on the bed in despair. Tears were stinging her eyes. She mustn't let them come now.
The house seemed very strange.
She went downstairs to hand round cups of tea and slices of sponge cake. She couldn't sit down and relax. Nick was the one familiar face. She knew that his eyes, filled with concern, followed her round the room, but Joey stayed on the edge of her mind.
"Does the business world suit you?" Hugo was asking Nick. "I take it you've had plenty of time to find out what it's all about."
Lizzie knew Nick was uncomfortable, too.
"I should have by now, I suppose. I've worked in every department in the factory, and most in the office, but I don't feel settled, not part of the team."
"You're telling me you don't enjoy it?"
Hugo's eyes twinkled.
"Greg has been very kind. You all have. That's not what I'm asking."
Lizzie handed round the cake again. Hannah smiled encouragement, but it didn't help. Nick went on.
"I know I'm moved to give me experience, and I need that if I'm ever to manage the business, but—"
"Your heart isn't in it?"
"Not exactly that. I do try," he flushed.
"Perhaps not."
Hannah asked, "Did Greg work his way round every department?" Nick shook his head.
"Didn't need to."
Hugo smiled at him.
"You won't learn anything of importance at Evans's. It isn't being run as it should. I'm sure profits could be much higher. It's done no more than tick over for years. Neither Matt nor Greg is sufficiently interested. If you really want to learn about business, I'll fix you up in an efficient company, where you'll learn the right way of doing things."
Lizzie saw the quickening of interest on Nick's face, followed swiftly by a flush of embarrassment.
"Would that mean working in London?" "Yes, or Birmingham. That's where my businesses are now."
"Thank you, sir."
Nick was scarlet in the face.
"I'm all right, really."
"I'm not sure about that," Hugo said seriously. "How old are you?"
22.
"Should be steaming along at your age. If you want to make something of yourself, achieve anything, you must be interested in what you're doing. Get out of it if you don't like it. Take no notice of what your parents want for you. You must decide."
Nick said awkwardly, "Has Hannah told you I've been working on a farm in my spare time? I've been offered full-time work if I want it."
"That's exactly what your father wanted you to avoid," Hannah reminded him. "He'll be cross. You're not going to take it?"
"I don't know. Still trying to make up my mind."
Coming here was his father's idea.
Hannah explained to Lizzie.
Hugo barked back. So you told me. Nick, your father would have done better to let you have your head. We elders interfere too much in the lives of others.
You're doing it now, Hannah pointed out.
You told me I should, he countered.
I didn't mean quite like this. Lizzie saw Hannah flush. You must think us a pair of old busybodies, Nick.
All we can say to excuse it, Hugo put in, is that we have your interest at heart.
The silence lengthened uncomfortably. Another cup of tea, Hugo? Hannah asked brightly. He began to speak at the same moment.
Now Lizzie's here, she'll give you something else to think about. Perhaps you'll like Birkenhead better.
Lizzie didn't think that eased Nick's embarrassment. She got up to clear the tea things away. He followed her to the kitchen.
Can I run you back to collect your clothes? He offered awkwardly from the door. There'll be things you'll need.
Lizzie had been thinking about that, and had decided to put it off until tomorrow, when Joey would be at work. She didn't want to make matters worse by arguing with him again, but she'd have a suitcase to carry, and it was a long walk up the main road to where she could catch a bus.
"Shall I take you now?"
he pressed, and she knew he wanted an excuse to get away from Hugo.
"Will there be room on the back seat for your things?"
"Oh, yes, thank you. I'll only need one case." Joey would probably be home now. She'd make him understand she only meant to stay a few days with Hannah, and tell him she was sorry they'd parted on such bad terms. But she was afraid he'd still be cross with her, and he wouldn't like her bringing Nick again. She hoped it wouldn't mean another confrontation. Lizzie was filled with dread that they'd find the van parked outside the house again. Joey could easily have called at Bill's on his way back and driven it down. It was a relief to turn into Onslow Road and find it wasn't there. Perhaps Joey hadn't come home yet. Nick pulled up outside the house.
I won't be long, she said awkwardly. I'll just throw a few things in a case.
She couldn't invite Nick up to their bedroom to help. She daren't let him see their double bed.
Better if I wait in the car, Nick said. Don't want to upset Joey again.
Lizzie's heart leapt with relief. She let herself in with her key.
"Joey!"
she called from the hall. Some sixth sense told her he was here. She reached the living room door before he started to get to his feet. His face was grey. He looked ill.
"I've come to get some clothes, Joey."
His mouth hardened.
"I'm only staying with Hannah for a little while."
She wanted to put her arms round him and beg forgiveness. She went closer, put her hand on his shoulder. Impatiently he shook it off and stepped back.
"You'd better get them and go."
He was coldly sullen. He turned his back on her and slumped onto the easy chair again.
"Please, Joey," she implored. "Don't be so angry."
She knew she hadn't given him enough time to recover. Lizzie felt tears prickle her eyes again. She blinked them back, angry herself now, and ran upstairs to open her wardrobe. She slid a dress and a skirt from the rail, scooped a pullover and blouse from a shelf. Then she was dragging underwear from a drawer and ramming it into her suitcase, tossing shoes and a hat on top. She wanted to be quick, take very little. When she slid the case downstairs, Joey was leaning on the newel post.
"Will I see you again?"
His face was stiff with resentment.
"Of course, Joey. I'm going to give a week's notice at the Lyceum. The following week I'll come round and make your tea. We'll have a talk. What night would be best? What night will you be staying in?"
"Tuesday."
"All right. I'll come a week on Tuesday."
As Nick braked at the bottom of Onslow Road, she said,
"Joey's terribly upset."
"If anyone has reason to be upset, it's you, Lizzie. Joey's being a pig. We're going to forget him now. I'll cheer you up."
Nick helped her carry her things up to Dorothy's old bedroom and hang her clothes in the wardrobe.
"Come out for a walk," he suggested. "You can unpack all this later."
This was a changed Nick. He'd been friendly at Yarrow, but never like this. He hardly took his eyes off her. It made Lizzie's heart beat faster. He took her arm as they strolled down the Oak Ridge Drive. His touch, the movement of his hip against hers, was exciting.
They wandered through part of Prenton and then down the old Roman road. Nick's brown hair was lifting in the evening breeze. She felt drawn to him, grateful for his help and for his company. The events of the afternoon had left her feeling buffeted. She thought Nick had found it difficult, too.
"When I first came to Birkenhead, I used to walk down here almost every evening. It's a good place to get away from the town, though it's on its doorstep. I bet this part hasn't changed in centuries."
"The road hasn't been made up. No traffic," Lizzie agreed, striving to seem her normal self. She felt aroused. It was an effort not to stroke the hand he'd put on her arm. Living with Joey had heightened the sensual side of her nature. She wondered if Nick had ever...
"I'd like to get away from the streets."
He told her about Birchill Farm and all the time he'd spent there.
"You need the country that much?"
"Don't you?"
His brown eyes were sweeping over her again. She sensed he was aroused, too.
"I like it here as well. I love the river and the shops and the pace of life."
Nick grimaced. "Hugo was right. I feel shut in and tied down working in that factory, but I have to earn a living. 3 years ago, I was articled to my uncle in London. I'd be a solicitor now if I'd stayed."
"Would you have liked that better?"
"With hindsight, possibly. There was less hustle and noise in the office, but the city streets stretched for miles. It was impossible to get out of them there."
Nick's hand tightened on her arm and brought her to a halt.
"Listen, we used to hear the larks at Yarrow. Here there's only the cry of gulls and the chirp of house sparrows. Where I lodge, all I hear is the traffic and the clattering that comes from Laird's."
"Nick, I can see two blackbirds, and there's a thrush over there. There's plenty of trees, and the flowers in the gardens are lovely."
"I'm hard to please, Lizzie. I want open fields with cattle grazing in them."
"There's green fields all round you here, Nick. You're homesick. That's your trouble."
"No, not homesick. It's Hugo's fault. He's trying to straighten me out, and that's driving things home to me. I'm a round peg in a square hole in that office. That's my trouble."
"What are you going to do?"
"I think I can get a full-time farming job with Capital Farms."
Lizzie laughed.
"Even Joey turned that down. A tight cottage and 30 shillings a week at the end of it. It wouldn't be much of a life for you. Think of Seamus O'Malley. You don't want to end up like him."
"It wouldn't be quite like that. Capital Farms is run like any other business. Not much money now, but there'd be the possibility of promotion. Perhaps a decent job in the long run. I think I'd enjoy it."
Lizzie shivered.
"You could go home and help your father. He could employ one less man."
"He doesn't want that. He thinks he'd raise my expectations. The farm will be Jonathan's, you see." "Aren't I rotten company? I meant to cheer you up. You are so upset about Joey, and here I am sounding off about nothing. My prospects are better than his. I should be grateful for that."
"I wish I could help. You know there's lots of things here you'd enjoy. Joey and I went over to the Isle of Man on a boat, a round trip. It was lovely, like a cruise. Have you ever been out on the river? And there's so much life about the town. There's usually a hurdy-gurdy playing in Grange Road, and in Hamilton Square by the Underground there's a man who plays the concertina."
"He's doing it for pennies, Lizzie. He can't get a job because of the Depression."
"He plays smashing tunes. They always make me want to dance. Your problem, Nick, is you never think of anything but work."
He was smiling at her. "I'm too serious, too stick-in-the-mud."
"You work all day at Evans's, then work again on that farm in what's supposed to be your spare time. You need to live a bit. Try to enjoy yourself more."
"You'll be good for me. I'd like to go on the river. Will you come with me?"
"Next weekend," she promised. "We'll take the ferry over to Liverpool, then catch the boat to New Brighton. It's nice there, too. Donkeys on the beach and a fun fair."
"Good. It's a deal, then."
"You haven't given the place a chance."
"You're right, Lizzie. I haven't. You and Joey, you're far more at home here than I am. He knows everybody in that factory and office, and I see him chatting first with one and then another as he goes round. They seem to like him. Joey's found his level. I expect he's wheeling and dealing just as he always did, enjoying himself.
Lizzie shivered again. That was too close for comfort.
You're getting cold. We're standing about instead of walking.
The sun had gone down now, and as night came in it was getting cooler. She slid her hand into his and thought she felt him shiver too.
"It's not that I'm cold," he whispered, and suddenly his lips were against her cheek. Her heart was hammering with anticipation. It seemed an age before his lips found hers, and she felt his arms tighten round her in a long kiss. His touch was like velvet, gentle and sensual. Her fingers were in his hair.
"I think," he said shakily, "I'll be more content now I've found you again."
There was nobody about. She'd lived with Joey so long, she expected Nick to pull her down among the tall ferns against the wall, rip half her clothes off, and make love to her. His arms tightened again in a friendly hug before he put her firmly from him.
"I'm rushing ahead, far too fast."
He sounded breathless.
"Mustn't knock you off your feet."
Lizzie was shuddering with disappointment. She daren't let him see. Joey had awakened feelings in her, changed her forever.
"Lizzie," his voice was still shaky, "we've known each other all our lives. Dad thought of you as a tiresome kid, but we always liked each other, didn't we?"
"Yes, but you seemed almost grown up then. I used to tag around behind you."
"You've grown up faster. You seem to have caught me up. You're the duckling turned into a swan, do you know? You're stunning now, really beautiful. Hannah is very taken with you."
"And you?" she whispered.
She could feel the blood pounding in her head.
"I think I'm falling in love with you."
Nick was gazing down at her. She could see love in his eyes.
"No, that's not quite true," he whispered. "I'm already in love with you, Lizzie. I'm so glad I found you again. You're what I want."